So let's study the scriptures together. Parshat Vayikra, he called. Today's Torah portion speaks about different kinds of sacrifices and offerings. A burnt offering, a proclamation of one's complete dedication to the Lord. A peaceful sacrifice, an expression of gratitude for the Lord's salvation and His mercy. A sin offering, a declaration of one's regret for his mistake and his longing to regain intimacy with the Lord. A public sacrifice, an assertion of the unity of all members of the community, and a picture of the Jewish Messiah to come. This message will pose two significant questions for us. The first question is this, and actually all book of Leviticus, it's about those two questions. The first one, what should we bring when we approach the Lord? What should we bring when we come to Him? Our Torah portion relates how God wished ancient Israel to come to Him. And let's read Leviticus chapter 1, and let's read two verses, verse 1 and second verse, verse 2. Leviticus 1, 1, 2. Now Adonai called to Moses and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying, speak to Bnei Israel and tell them, when any one of you brings an offering to Adonai, you may present your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. When Moses was leading the people, he knew what God desires of them, and he explained it all to them. Today we don't have Moses near at hand, so it seems things are quite different for us. Or are they? Can we still know today what the Lord desires for us? We have His word, and that is pretty clear. His Spirit can actually reside in us. And personally, in my life, I prefer the whispering of the Spirit of the Lord to the voice of Moses shouting instructions to the tribes. Next, we should consider the message Moses delivered from God. It seems that God expected people to approach Him with a sheep or a goat, an offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. The question, what about today? How about our livestock? Do we need to offer the Lord a sheep today? If not, what offering do we need to bring? Or can we come empty-handed to the Lord? In the scriptures, it was never okay to approach the throne of God empty-handed. In Hebrew, there is an important word, leakriv. It means to draw close to God. Come to Him close in order to offer sacrifice to God. The sacrifice you offer becomes the means by which you draw close to God through sacrifice. To live a life of sacrifice, to live is to live in proximity to God. I would like to read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It is a very important place of scriptures about how to come to the Lord. Romans 12, 1. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Now it is true that God has a call for us all. He's assigned each of us our own gifts, our own talent, our own task. For each of us, our primary call is to be a child of God. It is the first calling. And our most important task from the Lord is to build the body of Messiah, His community. Such a task requires our faithful support of the congregation where He has assigned us. It supposes that we will be burdened for the salvation of others and will try to lead them to a saving knowledge of Messiah. This is calling from the Lord. Obedience to such a task is a sacrifice we should feel honored to make, an offering we should delight in presenting to Yeshua, knowing how truly pleasing it is to the Lord. Very interesting. Seems we have now introduced a second question. How should we approach the Lord today? What heart should we have? I want to read Exodus chapter 40. This is the previous chapter, Torah chapter. Exodus chapter 40, verse 33 through 35. And please open scriptures with me and let's read together. It's very interesting, very meaningful and important place of scriptures. Exodus 40, 33 and 35. Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the screen at the gate of the courtyard. So Moses finished the work. And verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. Moses was unable to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud resided there, and the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. What a place of scripture. What can we learn from these verses? The first lesson here. Two things happened in quick succession. Moses finished the work, and immediately the glory of the Lord descended into the tabernacle. I have a question here. Could the order of those two things be reversed? I don't think. If Moses wanted to see the glory of the Lord, he had to finish his job. It was an important task for him. When we have a task before us, how important it is for us to abide obediently, complete all that we have promised the Lord. The human sinful nature is always opposed to the Spirit of the Lord, as sometimes happens when we begin a task for the Lord. Some urgent things come up, or important matters that we think we must deal with, so we do not finish what we started, or put it off for later, and so God waits for us. Remember the parable of the four types of soul. It is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 8, and I would like to read it for us to refresh this place for us. Matthew 13, verse 3 through 8. And Yeshua told them many things in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to spread some seed. As he was scattering the seed, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they didn't have much soil. They sprang up immediately because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, they were scorched. And because they had no roots, they withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. But others fell on good soil and were producing fruit. They yielded a crop. Some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Can you see here? The only soil with which produced fruit was the last one. It was the good soil. It was the hard work. It was faithfulness until the end. Moses, in obedience, finished that he had begun, finished the assigned task, and only then, after he finished everything, the Lord complete his part, and cloud descended upon tabernacle. It looks like we have returned to the same lesson, a lesson of obedience. It's so simple, this lesson, but so important for us. Obedience is a sacrifice we should feel honored to make. There is nothing more important in our lives than our obedience to the Lord. And now we see the result of obedience. What follows our obedience? Get God's favor, His blessing on our work, His glory descending to infuse that assignment we have just completed. So this is the first lesson, obedience to the Lord, to finish our job, to do everything until the end. And the Lord, He's ready to come. He's ready to bless us. He's ready to send His glory to be with us. And the second lesson, I found it very interesting. It is in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and 35. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. Verse 35, please listen carefully. I would like to capture your attention. Verse 35. Moses was unable to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud resided there, and the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. This is quite amazing. Moses, you remember, had talked face to face with God on many occasions. Moses stood on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. He saw the glory of the Lord. He was in the cloud for 80 days. 40 days first time and 40 days the second time. He was in the presence of the Lord. And he was able to stand there. But this time, the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to even enter the tent. How much greater must have been the glory of Adonai in the tabernacle than anything Moses had experienced before? The question, why was that so? The good question here. Do you remember prophecies about the future tabernacle of God with man? The tabernacle of the new covenant that God was to make with man. Remember its fulfillment on that day of Shavuot, when the Spirit of God descended on the Messianic community, first Messianic community, and tongues of fire rested upon the heads of the people. Can you imagine that what glory they experienced on that day? And what glory we still live in today? We live in the time of glory of the Lord. I really believe that Moses would be happy to live today and experience the presence of the Holy Spirit as we are able to do. The presence of the Holy Spirit, His fire, His love, His mercy, His anointing here with us right now in this place. Furthermore, as we have already discussed, Adonai responds to a sacrifice. Remember the account of Elijah when he built an altar to the Lord. Fire from heaven fell upon that altar and actually licked up all the barrels of water that had been poured out upon that altar. It was the miracle of the Lord, the fire of the Lord, the presence of the Lord because of sacrifice of Elijah, because of the sacrifice. So now we are reading about the building of the tabernacle when many people made great sacrifice. And they were happy sacrifices, made freely and with all their hearts. How that must have pleased the Lord. And He responded to those sacrifices, coming down in such power. How I have always loved to read about those times when God appears to man, times when His glory is unusually strong. I love these places of Scripture. I love them. We all love supernatural experiences, and we need to experience them in our lives. It is important for us. Nothing can lift us so much as a fresh touch from the Lord. I need fresh touch from the Lord. I need His presence. Our Lord operates in two dimensions, the natural and the supernatural. He is the Lord of all. And today I want to reveal one of the keys from the supernatural. I want to emphasize that only two verses of Scripture are required to describe the coming of the glory of the Lord upon the tabernacle. Only two verses. But consider what preceded these two verses. Chapters. Six chapters describing the building of the tabernacle and all the preparation required to make it the place where the glory of the Lord was to rest. To prepare for the coming of the glory of the Lord, that requires a tremendous amount of preparation. It is very important. When the Lord first gave the Torah to his people, he warned them not to even approach Mount Sinai, so they would not die in the presence of the Lord. He told them, do not come closer to the mountain. So how much preparation, how much effort was needed by the people to prepare a dwelling place for the Lord, where he might rest among them without causing their deaths by his presence. First, it was necessary to make all the details of the tabernacle, then arrange it correctly, consecrate it, offer sacrifices. Only then did the glory of the Lord descend upon them, upon sacrifice and upon tabernacle. God commanded them to build the tabernacle, not because he needed it. I would like to pay attention here. So he commanded to build them the tabernacle, not because he needed tabernacle, but because they needed place of worship. It was important for them, for people of Israel, and the place of God's presence. So they build that place, so the Lord can come and live among them. Today is the same. When we serve to the Lord and build his mishpacha, it is us most of all who need it. We need it. We need mishpacha. We need the place to be together, to worship the Lord. Consider the Ark of the Covenant. People died if they touched the Ark. One might ask, how could it be built without the builders of the ark dying at their work? Of course, that was not really a problem, because as we have seen, the glory of God was withheld until the construction was complete, and then the glory came upon tabernacle. The example of Moses, the construction foreman for the tabernacle, helps us to understand our own circumstances. For example, I would like to give an example. We all enjoy our Shabbat services. God's presence is here right now with us. And it is so wonderful to join together in worship and studying. But what was required to make that possible? Much work has gone into preparation by the music team, by the team who produces online live from home and live from sanctuary. Also in Shabbat services, the Torah readers, the cantor, the speaker. I want to thank Scott Painter, who really helps me to improve my English. On Shabbat, when we have live from the sanctuary, people must arrive early to open the doors, to practice the music, arrange the sound system, host in the lobby. All should be done with a cheerful spirit and with excellence, because it's for the Lord and to the Lord. It is for us, you see, as it was for Moses, not the sharp mind and the beautiful words of the leaders, but their commitment and hard work and obedience to the Lord. This is the sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. I want to clarify something here. All scripture is built on the relationship of God with man, and the main condition of this relationship and what is based on it has always been a sacrifice. Even though we come to God with our own sacrifices, the truth is that we can't offer a sacrifice sufficient to allow us to approach God and be saved. But thanks to God, he made an adequate sacrifice, an extravagant sacrifice on our behalf. The only sacrifice which might make us worthy to stand before him, the sacrifice of his own love, his son Yeshua, the perfect sacrifice. How else can we say it? There is only one way to the throne of grace and mercy, only one gate leading to the kingdom of heaven, only one fruit that gives life, only one water that quenches thirst. All this realized through sacrifice, God's own sacrifice of his beloved Son, the only sacrifice that leads us to salvation. And this sacrifice, indeed, enable us to bring our own sacrifices to Him. This is the only way how to come to Him. And to answer the question regarding how does the Lord make His appeal to us today, He appeals to us individually. He appeals to fallen sinners. He appeals only on His own terms. Let's listen to His appeal. It's in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 6. And let's read verse 6, just one verse. John 14, verse 6. Yeshua said, and this is truth for us today. Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other way, no other name, only Yeshua the Messiah. And yet, a disciple of Yeshua is a person who is ready to do any work for Him, to sacrifice his own will for the success of the Lord's will. There is another word in scriptures that reflects our relationship with God. I love this word, servant of God. Let's say together, servant of God. The person who voluntarily gives up his will for the sake of the will of another, who forgoes his plans for the sake of the plans of another, this person is servant. That is what we do as servants of God. Truth is, yes, indeed, we cannot be neutral in our life, whether we like it or not, but we serve someone. This is our nature. This is who we are. See, with the zeal that people of Israel were ready to sacrifice, to offer to the Lord to build a tabernacle, what zeal was there? But in the chapters earlier, we read that with the zeal, the same zeal, they brought the sacrifice of gold and silver to the calf. The point is that man was created to serve. We are like vessels filled with something. And truth is, we will zealously serve God or others or ourselves. And this is our choice. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 16. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 16. This is very famous words to all of us and important to remember and to read again and again to ourselves and our families. Joshua 24. Now, therefore, fear Adonai and worship Him in sincerity and in truth. Get rid of the gods that your fathers had worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and worship Adonai. Verse 15. If it seems bad to you to worship Adonai, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers worshipped that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in those land you are living. But as for me and my family and my household, we will worship Adonai. But as for me and my household, we will worship Adonai. We will serve Him. This is our decision to serve the Lord today. This is our choice. We are children of God. We are His servants. I want to come up with one very important and encouraging place from the scriptures. It is in Exodus chapter 36, verse 1 and 2. This is the chapter, this is the place about the beginning of the building of tabernacle. We read about the end, when the glory of the Lord came upon sacrifice and upon Mishkana. And this chapter 36 is the beginning of building. So verse 1 and verse 2, Exodus chapter 36. So Bezalel and Aholiab are to work, along with every wise-hearted man in whom Adonai has placed insight and understanding to know how to perform all the labor for the service of the sanctuary, according to everything Adonai has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel, Aholiab, and all the wise-hearted men in whose minds Adonai had set wisdom, along with everyone whose heart stirred him up to come do the work. What I love about this place. Scripture calls everyone who worked on the building of the tabernacle. He called them wise-hearted men. Wise-hearted people. Today is the same. A wise person is not one who shines with knowledge and a sharp mind, but a wise person is one who serves his God with patience, who faithfully does all that the Lord commands to him. This is wisdom, to put your life into knowledge of the Lord, into following him. We can apply this truth today in our lives too, in our mishpacha. We want unity with each other. We want his glory to fill this place, our mishpacha, and change our lives. We want to see the salvation of the Jewish people of all Jacksonville and to the ends of the earth. We want miracles every day. We want the Lord to hear our prayers. We are so different. Backgrounds so different. Still we are united. What unites us? For sure, Yeshua, faith, Bible, Holy Spirit unites us. But we also united in our service to God and to his beautiful, beautiful people. This is what can make us united and successful. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. One of my favorite places of scriptures. 1 Peter 2:9. Please accept it by faith in your heart. It's so important today. I would like to read this. It is a blessing to us, as a promise from the Lord, as a his great gift to us. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Today we are not divided into priests and laymen. We are all children and servants of God. We must understand that it was not we who decided to do something for God, but that he chooses us and gives us the greatest honor on the earth, to be his servants, to be his children, to be his followers. Every day we are faced with difficulties and worries, but we are happy when in the midst of all of this, we find time to serve the Lord with all our hearts. So in the end, I would like to close with a passage from the New Testament, and this is a very famous place of scripture, the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. It is about our sacrificial service to God, our tithes and offerings, but not only about that. I would like to read about our lives, our hearts, our gifts, the Lord way about us. It is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that by always having enough of everything, you may overflow in every good work. As it is written, he scattered widely, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all generosity, which through us brings about thanksgiving to God. For this service of giving is not only supplying the needs of the Kiddushim, but is also overflowing with many thanksgivings to God. Because of the evidence of this service, they praise God for the obedience of your affirmation of the good news of Messiah and for the generosity of your contribution to them and to everyone. And in their prayer for you, they long for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thank be to God for His incredible gift. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close this with Aaron blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel. And then we will return to Painter's Home for a final worship song. So let's pray together as Mishpacha. Let's pray. Yeverecha Adonai Veishmarecha. Yair Adonai Panavelecha Vichunecha. Issa Adonai Panavelecha Veyaseh Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat Shalom, and let's welcome Eric Painter for the final song. Shabbat Shalom.